Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
I don't know what the service will look like tomorrow, but it's a time to sit around the word of God. Amen. Amen. I say it's a time to sit around God's word. But more than sitting around God's word, I want you to pay attention. You know, I find that, and please, I want you to pay attention to me. And when I start teaching, you will understand. I find that most of the people who get lost on God, they are usually people who are close to him. Please understand me. How many of you appreciate the ministry of Apostle Paul? Huh? You love Apostle Paul in the Bible. But he had a disciple. His name was Demas. Uncle Tio, can I move? Do you understand what I'm saying? Please pay attention to me. I want you to hear me. Don't be distracted with whatever you are doing. I want you to hear me clearly. Because I talk about greater works. I said, we all appreciate someone like Paul. But Paul had a disciple. But the boy didn't begin his ministry because it ended before it started. That man's name was Demas. Do you know who Demas is? Demas is that kind of guy that when Paul is going for a ministration, it takes him along. Demas was in the same category with Timothy. Are you with me? Demas was in the same category with Timothy. And you would expect that at some point, Paul would say, take so-so church. Bring it down. You take so-so church and oversee it. But Demas never started. And that is the subject for another day. But I just want to establish to you that if you are a Christian and you are born again, you are here. Or if you are someone that serves the Lord, maybe in this church you're a worker or you're a minister of the gospel, your capacity to deviate from the truth and from him is even higher than somebody who has not been close. You see, the person who is not close to God is already not close. So when he's far, it doesn't matter because he's already far away. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. So there is no standard of measurement because that guy is already far. But you see the one that God says, I have a plan for this one. The devil will continue to put fire under you. I won't share this testimony, but I was saying it briefly yesterday about one of our brethren who God blessed with a job. And the job is more than 8 zeros. Okay, let me help your mind. The job is more than 7 zeros. Since I know you cannot see that 8, because the 8 will just blow your mind. But you see, we were praying together for like 3 months about that job. Okay? We were praying. And there was a particular one that we trusted God for, but they didn't say anything about it after the interview. So we were both discouraged, but we kept praying. And suddenly, this seemingly unexpected, unpopular offer. Unpopular because when you put this organization beside the other one we were trusting God for, you know the other one, you don't know this one. So in our minds, we didn't think anything serious. Are you with me? We'll come out of this one. My brother, 8 zeros. Don't worry, just imagine. Imagine anything that has like 7 zeros and 1 digit in front. Just imagine. Can you imagine? Can you imagine it? For somebody who doesn't even have a child yet. Okay, so don't worry. So you are here trying to, you are close to your miracle and you are wondering why all of a sudden the devil is putting pressure on you to take some drastic decisions and you are not seeing that you are about to set yourself up by wanting to be right. Every every time, you may not know what God wants to do, but you can predict by looking at what Satan is doing. Every time the pressure becomes so intense, know that there is something the enemy has seen. There is something God is seeing. But there is a response of faith I must maintain. If I do not maintain that response of faith, regardless of what God says, it's game over. That's why I said I wanted to start by saying that if you are someone that works for God or you are close to God, you must not commit the sin of familiarity and thinking that you can walk away and walk in. Because the devil knows, the devil can sense it, that you are around the perimeter of a major breakthrough. Then he tells you to take a unilateral decision. Did you hear that? Now, if you heard it and you only heard it, it didn't enter your spirit, you are not different from someone who just heard it. You've got to meditate. You see, when we talk about quiet time, what our fathers knew about quiet time is not what we know now. In those days when we did quiet time, that's why it seems like I'm always harping on that thing. In those days when our fathers did quiet time, it was actually quiet time. Quiet time doesn't mean when you sleep. Quiet time doesn't mean when you read a daily manner and you can't control yourself. You just read one short exhortation and then you just move on to the next thing. Quiet time suggests that is the moment that your spirit rests and allows God's word to superimpose itself. That means that the time is not quiet until I have meditated to the point where I have found instruction. It is that meditation that your spirit can digest. It's just like saying you want to give a patient drip. You cannot take that drip. You know, that drip is a combination of water and a few things. The patient at that point cannot eat. So you have to put it in a particular form, soluble, so that the patient can ingest it not through his mouth, but through his veins. So when you meditate, you are regurgitating. You are taking that element of scripture, that thing that God has put in your spirit, and you are chewing it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And as you are looking at that, you are meditating on it, and God begins to bring to life the same scripture everybody has read. The same scripture everybody. And you begin to see that the question of man's redemption did not even start with man. It started with God. Then you look at the subject of the world, and you realize that as beautiful as this world is, what they told us many times is that God hates this earth and he can't wait to destroy it and established a new one. That is true. But for God so loved the world that he gave. The quest for redemption is not just about human beings. It is about creation. Oh, come on. Did you hear me? It is not just about human beings coming to Christ. It's said for the earnest expectation of what? The creator, not human beings alone. What we are panting for, the manifestations of the sons of God. So this is not really about you. It is about the things that God took his time to make. Don't be like Demas. So close, yet so far. When Paul wrote, he said, Demas has forsaken me. Having what? Having loved this present world. God didn't say the world is not yours. He just said don't love it. Because anything you love will tie you down. Do you know that if Adam had refused to partake of that knowledge that Eve partook of, was not there, and then he waited for God to come, Adam would have received grace to enter into an intercessory mode. Did you hear that one? Did you hear what I just said? I said if Adam had not eaten of that fruit and he had waited for God, he would have received grace to stand in between for his wife as the head of the home. But because he subjected himself to the force of emotion, sir, and he allowed himself to be sweet-talked into it, let us commit the crime together. God cannot keep both of us together. And that is why we are all dying below 100 today. it is possible that on the grounds of intercession, which is a spiritual principle, Adam would have been able to extend the life of the woman force on earth today by virtue of intercession and say, Father, I was not around. She didn't know. Please have mercy. And then God will reduce the sentence. The moment he gave up himself to emotional interplay, he brought himself down to that level, their judgment was the same. Don't be so close yet so far. John chapter 14. I want to appreciate all of you once again. The Lord bless you. Please help me celebrate Pastor Ego and all our pastors. Amen. Pastor Aronsiola, God bless you, sir. God bless. Please, let me bring him to the... Please, sir, just come sit in front here. It's okay. You're on camera. They want to see you. John chapter 14. I think we should go to verse 3 or verse 5. Oh, go to verse 3. Verse 3. We are going to read down. Verse 3. Now, I want you to look at this scripture. I will try to finish this scripture, but if I can't, please, when we are done, go and listen to this message again. Okay? Go and listen to this message again. He was talking about, in my father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Now, look at verse 3. Now, please, that does not mean God, there's no construction going on in heaven. Let me just say that in passing. So, you can rest your mind. There are no blocks. There are no cement. There's nobody supplying sand in heaven. I'm serious. Everything in heaven responds to his word. So, even if you are going to live in a mansion, which I don't understand why, but because you didn't buy a plot of land here. You are not looking for a free house in heaven. We'll collect rent and you pay your tax. And God has assured me I'll be in the accounting department. So I know all of you and I know your matric number. Hallelujah. Now look at that. Verse 3. He said, if I go and I prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be where? You may be also. Verse 4. And whither I go, what's the next word there? You know. And the way, you know. Wait. Our Lord said he was going somewhere. He now said to them, the place I'm going, you already know it. He now said, the way to that place, you already know it. What did Brother Thomas say? Thomas. Thomas said unto him, I like Thomas. What I do not understand, I will ask. I don't just believe. Thomas is a perfect example of a typical Jewish man. Don't blame him. A Jewish man has blocks in his head. He doesn't follow anything that doesn't... that's why you find that they are winning awards everywhere. Because they don't just read on the surface. How many of you are like that? You look at a particular textbook in the class. You just read the introduction, try to understand what they are saying. Then go to the last chapter. So you tell yourself they will probably ask a question from chapter 1, chapter 3, and chapter 5. So out of 5 questions, you will answer 3. Let the lecturer keep the rest. He said, Lord... The one to whom I am submitted, my master. You told us, you said where you are going, we already know. The place, we already know. Me, I don't know. We know not. What he should have said was, I know not. Some of the errors we are dealing with are people with assumed collective error. Assumed collective error. People would think that because they don't know, it means everybody do not know. He should have just spoken for himself and then the Lord would have explained. But because you said we, then I will explain some things now. We know not whether thou goest. How can we know the way? Are you going to Capernaum? Are you going to South Africa? Are you going to Dubai? Because we need to know so we can buy the ticket. We don't know. Next verse. Jesus said to him, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Next verse. If you had known me, hello, proximity is not a proof that you are one of his 12 disciples, that you are in church, that you've been around, that you are the son of a prophet. It's not a proof. The guy here is an apostle. And our Lord said to him, if you really knew me, I know you are around, but if you really knew me, but not from afar, if you are really that close to me, you would have known my Father. So the proof that you don't know me is that you don't know my Father. If not, you won't be asking some questions. So again, the issue of proximity, again, the issue of error, the issue of assumed error. To think that because we are in church, we have access to God. Meanwhile, there is one sinner on the streets who is saying, my God, have mercy upon me. And God walks up to that man. Welcome, sir. God walks up to that man and he allows that man to come into an experience while we have other people who are so close enough, but yet so far. He said, if you had known me, you should. That means one is a consequence of the other. If you had known me, you would have known my Father. And then you would have known the way. And you would have known the pathway to get there. But before I jump up above myself, go back to verse 3 or verse 4. I want to talk to you about Thomas. There are certain things about Thomas. Oh, give me verse 3. I think it's verse 3. No, verse 5. Karabatali laboshata. Thomas said to him, and please pay attention to this verse. You are going to see some things you never thought about. Ah, Pastor, next one. I don't recognize you again. Oh boy. Oh, Lua. Please let me celebrate my dear friend. Wow. No, see, I tell them. Let me just keep my manners. I like this your style. This is what God is saying now. This kind of thing. Amen. Hallelujah. But this man is not somewhere I'll call my friend anyway. It's my brother. So, So, if my mom wants to report me, that's the person she calls. So, look at that scripture. There are certain things in this verse that you could see and gloss over. Come and say, open my eyes, Lord. Come and say, open my eyes, Lord. The question that Thomas asked, before you judge him and say it's because he's being forward, before you say you want to judge Thomas, I want you to know that many of us are in the same category. What is that category? The question of we know not where thou goest, we do not know the way. This is the same question many are answering, and I will explain to you. We do not know the way. It speaks of purpose and destiny. We don't know where we are going. We are hoping to hope and hoping somehow we will get there. But there is no hoping to hope. You either got the directions or you don't. Have you ever been on the express before and Google Map led you astray? Come on now. You trusted Google Map. And Google Map, we were on our way to a wedding at your church, and Google Map led us to I think before we knew it, we were already at Dokpemu, and we are going to Abulegba. We are looking for the fastest route, and we were already looking at Shasha, and then I said brother, turn. Then we look at the address again. So there was a one word error. But Google Maps sometimes lead you astray in flying colors. You may find yourself on the way to Abeokuta, but you are just trying to go to Ogba. And if you have never been there, you won't be angry. You'll be angry. You won't laugh. You'll be angry. Because only you now realize eventually you are close to where you are going. Only for Google Maps to say, turn right. Follow the ramp. And then you follow the ramp, and here you are facing Shagamu. What was Thomas saying? We don't understand you. Thomas is saying we don't understand you. Thomas is saying, I don't understand you. You are saying to me that where you are going, I already know. I am telling you I don't understand because I don't know. This is the question that happens to a man who is so close but pays no attention to details. This is the question of a man who is so close to God. People are looking at him from afar and say, wow, if I can only be close to God like this. And yet the little details, the things that pertain to destiny, they are hidden from him. This is the question. He said, we don't know. We don't know. You keep saying we know, but we don't know. If you go like this, everything goes scattered. Because this way you are talking like you want to die. You are talking like you want to die. If you die now, this thing don't scatter. We don't know. Tell us, which bus are we taking now? Are we flying now? We don't sell that ship. The ship we were using to do there, we've sold it. So talk to us. The question of we don't understand you. We don't know what you do. We don't know why you do what you do. It's the question of purpose and destiny. The question of purpose, and there are many people in the church. Even at, how can somebody be born again for like 10 years, 11 years, and you are still struggling with the basics of the faith? You see, because there is a hearing, there is a type of hearing, and please, I want you to pay attention to me. There's a type of hearing that God requires of his children. There is a kind of hearing. That's why he says faith cometh not by reading. It cometh by hearing. That means after you have read, then there must be a hearing from inside. There must be a hearing, and it is not just one hearing. It's a hearing, and a hearing, and a hearing. They just paraphrased it there. And a hearing, and a hearing, and a hearing, and a hearing, till it sinks. It is not a one-day thing. It took God 30 years to raise his son before he placed his seal of approval on him. Listen to me. If he did it for his son, don't just expect to walk over. Because he is the pattern son. Come on now. Do you know what a pattern son is? A pattern son is that kind of boy you look at in the house and everybody is saying, just be like this one. If God is using you too fast, tell him to slow down. Come on, say amen. I say if God is using you too fast, say, God, if it's you, slow down. Because I don't know where you are going. I don't know how we are going to get there. Truthfully, you called me an apostle. But I don't know. If I don't know, how can I lead others? If I have never been there, if I've never seen Jesus heal before, how can I say to somebody, can we stand together for your healing? If I've never known what it means for someone to die in the faith and to understand that glorious and blessed is the death of the saints in Christ, how can I walk a family through when they are in crisis and they are in pain? If you've never felt it, when you say you want to follow God, you are asking him to make you a test tube. You are asking him to take you to the experimentation room and walk you through so that when you come out, you know. This guy said we don't know. But because he was not open to process, he was not open to destiny, he was doing follow-follow like many are doing follow-follow and misconstruing follow-follow to mean that they have assessed certain depth in God. And when God started talking about certain things, they had to open up, sir. We don't know. We don't know. Actually, I thought, have you ever been in exam hall? And then it was when you saw the question, you realized you really didn't know as much as you had an idea. But now the question has dismantled whatever it is you know. So you now have to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. And God helps you, they are in China for revival. We don't understand you. We don't know what you are doing. We don't know why you are doing it. We don't know the way. Talking about the question of purpose. What is my part in this? What is my journey? What is the little spot you have given to me here? How can I move from here? Go out into the streets. And instead of trying to force somebody to give their life to Christ, I can look deep into their soul and see what is the longing of their heart. And I speak directly to it and all the shackles break. Why do we go into places? And it seems that we walked into the place trying to win souls, and they we ended up being won over because we couldn't even defend the basic standpoints of Scripture. So we ended up arguing. And when we tried to settle, we say, well, we're all serving the same God. We are serving the same. We are not serving the same God. Our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our God has a son. If yours doesn't have a son, it can't be the same God. You need Jesus. I spoke to a brother a few weeks ago, and he said, I be Muslim. I said, I know they follow you talk religion. And they follow you talk the one way go help your life. I said, take this flyer. Read the testimonies at the back. This is my number. Call me. Because people think we are selling a product. Like they actually have a choice. If you don't use locks, use joy. If you don't use joy, use hope. If you don't use hope, use grace. And what's that one forever living product? There's one that one very expensive thing like that. You can. It's not like soap. You say, I'm angry, I'll not buy their soap again. The penalty for being angry at God. Go and ask Saul, King Saul. God didn't kill him. God allowed him to die a painful death. You will see yourself. The things that you have once condemned, the things that you have once judged, you will find God will allow you, will leave you, begin to degenerate from inside. You will see yourself going back to the places, the things you have vomited and sworn on your life that you will never go back to. You will start going to medium. You will start going to Babalawo. You will start going to the places. I will never beat my wife the way my father beat my wife. You will not only be beating your wife, you will be giving her some aslam, and then you will be remembering all the things you swore on the altar, as we were joining you, will you love this woman? Will you take her? And you'll be remembering as you are doing summer slam. And then you are counting 1, 2, 3, and then you declare yourself the winner. Because hurt people always hurt people. When you behave as if you know the way, you behave as if you know what you are doing. And then you now get to the point of technical analysis. You get to the point where they don't really require your behavior and attitude. They require what is in your spirit. You now realize that under certain conditions, your faith will fail you. You are trying to start, the engine is failing. The car is starting, but it's just rolling. The engine is not starting. Because the capacity for this warfare, you didn't generate it. Even though you stayed around God, but you didn't monitor his ways. You didn't see him when he woke up in the middle of the night, and he went to pray all night. You didn't see him when they brought food and he said, today is not for eating. You thought you knew because you heard. You only know because you experienced. You think you know because you heard. You only know when you experience the fellowship of his sufferings. When you know why, he stayed away from certain pleasures. When you know why, he said no to certain things. Not because he could not refrain, but he didn't want to be a burden to many. Who told you he couldn't marry? Who told you he couldn't have children? But when he checked the pathway that was before him, he saw that there was no provision for women. Instead of copying what others are doing, instead of trying to live like others, he said, there is a way. Why don't you see what he has put on that journey for you? Those are the things that determine what you can do. Oh my God. I think I'm preaching to somebody this morning. Because you see, there are certain consecrations that God may require from a Peter. He will not demand them from Paul. If you don't look carefully into the law of liberty and know what is allowable and not allowable, you will just find that you are copying certain things, and then you get to certain point, they tell you this is Windows 7. If you want this thing to work, you need to install Windows 10. And then you begin to struggle. And it is a principle. If you want this application to work, this one, Oracle, when we were designing this application, we did it on Chrome. You can't use Firefox. Have you been in the office sometimes? And they say this kind of application, use Firefox. This other one, they say use Chrome. If you use the other one they said not to use, you will get to a point, the application will not be moving smoothly again. You don't know simply because you hung around. You know. Because you are a fellowship. You are in fellowship with his sufferings. Every time you see him turn his back on something, you are trying to know why. Why will my master, go into the house of a rich man, a Pharisee, a man of knowledge? The man did not wash his feet and he didn't see anything. And then a prostitute came and with her long hair, the scripture says the hair is given to her for a glory. She took the most expensive part of her life, that part of her life that she always takes care of, and she knelt down and used that part of her hair and began to wash his feet with her tears. Listen to me, that's one of the most romantic things. You don't know. Go ahead. Don't try it. Except you are married and you have, and your wife has long hair. And if she doesn't have buy bone straight hair. Amen. It's just a hair. Or you wait when the price is cheap, buy it. Then you can practice this thing. Bone straight is not your problem. You just don't understand what really matters to you. It's not the bone straight. When destiny takes a hook on you, you realize many times that you don't invest in clothes anymore. Not because you don't want to, but there's no time. There's a season like that where your destiny and your purpose will take fruit from your mouth. It will take sleep from your eyes. I am telling you why this guy would be saying, will be so close to God and he will not know. Hallelujah. This is the reason. This question that Thomas asked is the reason why many came to him and they turned back and left angrily. Is the reason why many came close to him and they could not sustain their walk with him. It is the reason why many came and then when they could not find their answers, they looked at somebody or two people in church who are not living Christ-like, and they used those people as an excuse to turn away from God. If this is the way Christians are, I will not be a Christian. You are going to hell. Somebody needs to tell somebody the truth. You are gambling. The person you are talking about didn't die for you. The person you are talking about is not your savior. Listen to me. You make a mistake because people don't know that God has not changed. He's still that same old school God. The same cloth he's wearing, still the one he's wearing. He is covered in light. What's that? All those doors and Gabbana. Give me them. What's that name of this? You know them. Give me a Nigerian designer. Okay, we don't have. There's no unanimous answer. The nays have it. There's no answer. Because we're a consumer nation. So just sew your dress, okay? And you can even put your name on it. Don't matter nothing. You see, you could be doing all those things. God doesn't see it. Every time God looks at you, he's looking at the glory that he put in you. And he's checking the level. Since I put this thing inside, is it growing? Is it the same way? Or you've even poured water on the fire and you killed it off. Where is the glory? He said in John chapter 17, the glory I had with you from the beginning, I have given to them that they may be one as we are one. So Jesus, are you saying that all these things you did was out of that old glory? Say yes. So you mean all this dominion over nature, over matter, over situations, you mean it was this glory? And you say you gave it to me. Say, so where is it? I say it's with you. But like Thomas, you may be asking, we don't know. Again, I say to you, many of those who have the highest capacity to miss out on God are those who are closest to him. They are closest. Say, God, I want to thank you because you are a mighty God. Oh, how excellent your name is. Thank you for your blessings and your prosperity. I thank you, oh great and most high God. God is asking, can you just talk to me in your normal voice? And then beside him, there's one guy. And the guy is like, I tried again. I couldn't hold myself. I didn't know where else to go. I just came back to church again because this is my last bus stop. I have sinned again and again. I have nowhere to go to. These church folks are going to condemn me. So I came straight to the altar. I wanted to talk to you personally. If you would just have mercy on me and show me the way. And Jesus said, the other guy was rejected and this one found mercy. But physically, there was no storm. There was no lightning. There was nothing in the sky that suggested God heard the second man, except that that was heaven's verdict. Only time reveals heaven's verdict. Only time. Only time. Only time will show those with spiritual stamina. It's not microphone. I said only time. Only time will show those who have spiritual stamina. Only time. When you hit certain points on the express, if your car does not overheat, then we know you have a good car. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. There are some cars. 1 year, my brother. We know they go to do service, you know. The car was built to last 1.5, 2 years. Yeah, yeah, we start going. You know, but there are some cars. You buy them in this country. You resume at the mechanic workshop. Make una check the leg. You guys should check the steering. They hear one noise inside the engine. My brother, don't run with another man's purpose. The car is done. The car's finished his assignment. Don't try to be like Babalola. He's dead. He's gone. Don't try to be like Elijah. He's dead. He's gone. We thank God for the grace upon his life. We thank God for the grace upon Ayo Babalola. But there is more in God. There is more in God. Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes. We thank God for Ketrin Kuhlman. We thank God for Aimee Semple McPherson. But there is more in God. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Oh my God. There is more in God. Listen to me. It does not yet appear what we shall be like. But when he appears, excuse me, it is not just when he comes finally. There is a day the Lord appears in your life. There is a day when in Jesus' life, he was at the waters, about to be baptized. He had an experience only he knew. But that was the day God appeared to him. The scripture said as he was being put into the water, the Bible said he was praying. He was praying. It's not water. I'm not talking about water baptism. I'm not talking about that lady in African church I was talking to, and I said, are you born again? She said, yeah, I've been born again from birth because I was baptized by water. I said, okay, limbra takas. And the demon in her started talking to me. We own this place. You cannot come here. I said, she said, I'm born again. Like one video, I said, he said, ta, for where? Now we they run things. Now we they run things. You must develop the capacity. Stop begging the engine to deliver what it cannot give. The only way to grow this engine and have your questions answered is to understand the place of the secret place. If you don't know the pathway into the secret place, there are certain things you won't get on the altar. There are certain things you won't get in congregational worship. There are questions that are only answered in the secret place. How come we were together and yet it was only you that spoke? How come you are the one that didn't understand? Even Peter that normally speaks, he kept quiet. How come? You need an encounter. You need an encounter with God. Again, I say to you, this is one of the reasons why most people are not able to sustain their relationship with God. And when they get to that point and the engine is not moving, they resort back to human knowledge. They go back to human sensations. They go back to what is rational. Our God is not in the rational business. Listen to me. Listen to me. Every man who tried to be rational with God, they missed out. Every man who tried to be rational. Have you looked at people that God called? And you ask yourself, how can God call this kind of person? But that's because it's not you. It's not a rational person. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not a rational person. I prayed for a lady. She had just done an abortion. And the doctor said to her in Ibadan, you will never be able to carry a baby again. And then she came to a meeting. And after the meeting, I was seeing her for the first time. And the girl was not even born again. She was just some girl that used to go to some of our Orthodox churches. And I said, the lady over there, the Lord said he has given you a brand new womb. And she just, you know, she didn't have the Pentecostal response. After the service, I spoke to her. And she said, oh, I just did an abortion. And the doctor said, I will never have a child again. I said, well, if you understand spirit technology, the moment he speaks, discard the old information. The moment he speaks, discard the old information. Don't try to rationalize and bring them together and marry them together. The system will crash. Sometimes you can't put 7 and 10 in one system. It will reject it. He said this one was configured for 10. This one is a 7th generation computer. What we are built for is not 4th generation. Do you know what a 4th generation computer is? Okay, don't worry. If you don't, go and study. Go and check it on YouTube. When you have a 7th generation computer, if you have one that looks like an HP, you can take that laptop and bend it the other way around, and then it becomes like an iPad. Then it has touch screen. Say, turn your Bible this morning. Because I see that laptop on this stage now. I'm seeing that kind of laptop. So you just bend it and just say John chapter 5. Before they bring it up, you're already reading. Then when you are done, you fold it back and you are going. That's 7th generation. Say, unbelievers are already using it, so don't worry. While you are thinking whether it's holy or not, we are moving to 14th. We'll leave you to keep playing catch up. Now, I don't want to overdwell on Thomas, but it's actually something to be careful about. Listen to me. Jesus said in verse 6, give me verse 6. This was his response. Now, when any time you see the Lord, have you noticed that when most people ask the Lord questions in the Bible, his answer doesn't usually look like a punchline. Except you think properly, you won't see what he's saying. There was a scripture where he was sleeping, and some of you need to know that Jesus sleeps. And when he sleeps, he's actually sleeping. Nobody's pressing him. Why I'm concerned about you is that because you already knew before you slept they were going to press you. You knew. There's something about you that encourages pressing. And they came and they pressed you, and then you came for deliverance. Hear me. Every emotional permission is a legalized transaction. It's a legal transaction. What you permit emotionally is we tick in the heavens. So the moment you keep saying, I'm just being factual. Look at this answer. This was the response to a man who said he didn't know God. Jesus said unto him, I am the way. Now, if you rush that scripture, but I don't really have all the time. The word I am was the same thing that God said when he called Moses. Who shall I say has sent me unto them? He said, I am. I am. I am is not easy. To even say I am your healer, I am your prosperity, I am your victory, I am your whatever, is like trying to demean the full weight of I am. What I am just means is I am everything. I feel everything. Everything consists from me. I may not be able to tell you what I want to give you, but if you can narrow your prayer down to one specific, I can channel my power in that direction. Today you ask God to give you a husband. Tomorrow you say, God, if it is your will. Okay, the command is giving us a Java error. So we need a specific command to move in a particular direction. The weight of God's wisdom is such that he does not even permit himself to age anymore. We don't count his years. We just call him the ancient of days, because the weight of his wisdom was way back before time began. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? When he said I am, he was talking about the full weight of his essence. But for the sake of your question, I am, you say you don't know the way. You say you don't know the way. He's standing in front of you. Your full journey, by the time you start and you end, is still inside of me. You are not looking for your purpose. Your purpose is not to be a doctor. Your purpose is not to be a lawyer. When you are done and you get to heaven and I stand beside you, they will be asking, who is the real Jesus? Hey, I am the way. What that means is that when I walk with him, I am being changed from glory to glory. I may not see the change because it's very slow, but something is happening on my inside. Something is happening. And all of a sudden, you find that after 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, you are walking in a new level of dominion. You didn't necessarily pray about it. You didn't necessarily fast about it. But because you are consistent in your walk with him, in your service to him, You are being changed. You are being changed. How many of you know that when you're on a weight loss program, you are not the first person to notice something is happening? When the devil condemned me to a big stomach, I said, I have preached against this thing. The devil is a liar. Then I weighed the, I weighed the cost. My brother, can you do this thing? So we started by faith. Because now he says, you know, the thought of not eating at all, when that thought hits you, then you are like, wow. But we started. I started living on fruits. First day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, seventh day, 13th day, 14th day, 16th day. And I just eat, you know, minimally at night so that I won't die. You know, so I just eat something minimal. That way, it won't be the devil that killed you. But you know, something happened to me and I didn't know I was changing. My wife cooked something and then I said it was salty. I have never complained about salt. But over a period of 3 weeks, something happened to me, but I didn't know something had happened to me until an offer was made to me. And my wife said, but I didn't put any salt. I said, but I can still taste salt. So I said, there's only one question now. Maybe I should join the vegetarian club or come back to this former life. But when I stood in front of the mirror, you look like the guy I used to know. I know this guy. My brother, having chubby cheeks is not a sign that God has blessed you. We might as well take a knife, cut that in, and cook pomo. It's not a sign. It's not a sign. Listen to me. Just make sure you are safe, whether fat or yellow or big or whatever. I could care less. If God tells me you are my wife, done. We are married. What I'm talking about here is how the journey changes you. There are certain questions that God really does not answer with his mouth. He allows the journey to process those answers for you. Even when you pray, he will not answer. If we allow the journey to sift you, if we allow the journey to sift you until you get to that point where you find rest in him alone. When God said to you, I am taking you to nations, Femi. I'm going to take you all over the world. I'm going to make you sit with kings. And queens will call your private number. And you are already 40 years. And no local government chairman even knows the first 3 digits of your number. And then you go to God and you say, God, how long? How long? The moment you ask that question, they extend the training. Nothing in the spirit is achieved when trying to put God under pressure. He doesn't understand pressure. Because he doesn't dwell in time. For you to understand pressure, you have to be bound to time. And because he created time but stood outside of it. So when you put pressure, you are putting pressure within your timeline. But he is outside of your timeline. He's wondering, what on earth is she doing? You can't put pressure on me. He said, God, by the works of my hands, commanding me. Those are prayer points we used to pray in those days. And God says, when you finish drinking your pepper water, go and sleep. I'm not ready. It that will come, will come. It sounds funny, but I am telling you why people like Thomas came. Then they said, this Christianity is not working. And they turned back and they left. And when they came to you and they told you, because you were also not a person of processor, because you are not on a journey with God, you could not tell them, I have been there. Thomas, I've not entered the altar because I'm going all the way to greater works, but I don't know, man. Are you getting blessed? Anywhere I stop, we'll continue. The journey changes you. It refines you. He allows certain things happen to you. Ah, my God. When I lost my brother-in-law, Pastor Desmond, I stood at his graveyard as they were about to lower him into the ground. And I wanted to say, in the name of Jesus, rise up. But somehow I knew there was no permission for that. The issue about raising the dead is not just about interest. It's about heaven's permission. Because you are trying to reverse nature. So it's not just about you. That's why we teach people in the raising of the dead. Go there, pray for the person. If you have anointing, anoint the person. Don't wait. Turn back, go. If he will rise, he will rise. If he will rise, he will rise. Don't endanger your fragile faith. Day one, day two, day three. It is given unto men to die once. This one has died once. There are things we exposed ourselves to, not knowing how fragile our faith was. And then after we came out of that experience, our faith was damaged. We couldn't recharge the battery. And then it seemed every time you try to get up, it says 10%. 10%. And you are wondering, what happened to me? People went into relationships with people that were supposed to be Christians. And something happened. And their faith was damaged. And they came out. And it seemed that the girl moved on with her life. The brother could not move on. He will try to get up, he will fall down. He will try to get up, he will fall down. You may not know what I'm talking about, but if you have been a sinner like me, and you've been with some kind of people, the more you confess the sin, you'll be falling. Yeah. That one, I'm messy with me. Because it's just for the girl to come back and pick a spoil. There are people that they weren't just hurt by people in the office. They were hurt by people who were pastors. They were hurt by people in church. They were hurt by people who were supposed to be shepherds over them. And because their faith was fragile, then they looked and they said, this thing is not working. And they turned their back because there was no man to answer their questions. If you do not want to expose yourself to situations where you will begin to ask yourself questions. It's God, though, but because you cannot ask him, you are asking yourself. And then you're like, bless, I go cool down. My gra, don't they do too much. Oh. You see, the moment you get to that point and you are trying to negotiate your commitment to God for your personal space, you are trying to negotiate your consecration to God as if God is the problem in your life. You don't have certain questions. Why not admit you don't have the answers? Why are you trying to sound as if out of all the issues in your life, God is the reason why you are not moving forward? God has been blackmailed many times. He has been sidemailed many times. He has been frontmailed many times. God has suffered back to back. He has conceded goals, not because he couldn't score, but because it was his children, putting the ball in the post, putting his integrity on the line, simply because they will not follow to know. Let the journey change you. Let the journey refine you. Let the journey refine you like fire. This is our sixth year as a church. We cannot afford to be a regular church in Lagos. We cannot afford to be that place where you come, you can't even remember what happened to you. We can't be defined by songs. We can't be defined by school of the spirit. We can't be defined by hearing messages. We can't be defined by all those things we do in church. We can only be defined by when we go in and we come out and your friend asks you, what happened to you? You just say, God, I had an encounter with God. I'm going to my place of prayer. I had an encounter with God. I am not touching sin no more. I had an encounter with God. I will not move anymore without his instruction. Every time you begin to get to that point, that is when God can benchmark you with somebody else. And the person looks at you like, are you a Christian? Say, are you a pastor? Say, no, are you a Christian? Say, yeah. Because the glory that he gave to you now has pillars and foundations to rest upon. Because if that glory that is locked in your spirit doesn't sit well, if it tries to come out, it will knock the vessel down first. There's a reason why Gehazi couldn't operate like his master. There was a reason. There was a reason. Don't be so close yet, far. Don't be so close yet so far. Don't be married to me only in name. Don't be married to me only in name. Let, oh my God, I wish I could get straight up, but I don't want to mess your mind already. It's already, I'm already getting to it. But he said, I am the way. All that thing about changing you, refining you, is about the what happens to you when you're on the way. Then he said, I am the truth. I'm the truth. I'm the revelation of God to you. Stop looking for what's not missing. God is not only in the big things, it's in the small things. Oh, I said it's also in the small things. You can be in the kitchen and you're having fellowship with him. Yeah, praying while cooking is valid. It's valid time of prayer. It's not only when you lock the door. Ikata, rebelegedegede, zurobatagadagada. Yes, that is fine. But even when you are doing dishes, elema hato, relevetosia, rebele kutumrea, mezila hola, neredegedia, your children should grow up having you speaking in tongues at the background of their mind. They should know when they are in boarding school, my mommy is praying. Every time she's on her own. That's why we bring people into our space. We invite people into our homes and they bring in their demons successfully because there is no talking spirit in the atmosphere. There's nothing talking. The only thing that is talking is Netflix. Nothing is talking. No consecration. And yet you are here asking for the glory, and God said, on what foundation? Said, I am the revelation of God to you. The glory of God that you come into is directly proportional to your personal revelation of him. It is not what we said, it is what you said. It is not what we encountered, it is what you encountered. I'm telling you why Thomas doesn't know the part. Say, Paul, he said, Timothy, you are so close to Paul. What's his name? Thomas, you are so close to me, but you are very busy. You are very busy. When Jesus went into the house of Lazarus, and he said, I think it's a matter, Abi. Was it matter? Why are you so encumbered with? Was it matter? So, our Lord didn't know that after that message, he will eat. He didn't know. If Jesus, our Lord, had to choose a wife, who will he choose? Who will he choose? Because there are some people, they just like to hear you talk. They just like to hear you preach. Oh, Rekata, pastor, just talk. I'm receiving these words. Pastor didn't sleep overnight, Saturday into Sunday. Kapule kataya, Rekata, Father, if you don't show up, we can't cook it up. Father, if you don't show up, we can't cook it up. Show up. Then you come in on Sunday, and the usher sees that. He says, Pastor, you are looking so tired. Have you been resting? Yeah, I've been resting. That's why I'm looking so tired. If I was resting, would I be looking so tired? I stayed up all the night because of you. Then you show up at 12. Pastor, I would like to see you. And you are using 1 hour to tell us your problem. Can you just get straight to it? Say, it's our pastor. But I'm somebody's husband. Listen to me. The revelation of God, how you assess revelation from God, is one of the foundational topics that should be taught when a person comes to Christ. Not advanced, foundational. Because you will not always have your teacher with you. A time will come, you will have to go on that journey alone. There was a part and a time in the life of our Lord Jesus, he had to go that route alone. He was on that cross. He was on that cross. And I hope you know that the pain that he felt was genuine pain. The pain that he felt was real. He wasn't taking it like a macho man. He was dying. And then he looked up and he said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou turned your back? Why hast thou forsaken me? For the first time, he had to deal with the reality of being without God, and it was painful for him. Some of us even enjoy it when we know he's not around, because it's party time, it's enjoyment time, pastor is not in town, he's preaching in Lekki, it's party time, we're gonna grow what you have in Sokoto,
Shoko is in your Shokoto. Come and shout, yeah. And I shall give God a wiper. And then when pastor comes on Sunday, your word, your promise, you go into worship mode. I believe. I say, oh, the anointing is here. Then God says, there is no anointing. There are idols in the house. Somebody was shouting, yeah, last week. But you didn't see because you went to Lekki. They were giving God wiper. Like he was sweating. Unscriptural insults. We allocate and arrogate to God. For whatever reason. Whether you are Niger Delta or Southern Delta. I don't care. God is so high. He's so high that he said his thoughts are above your thoughts. When God is talking to you and he's using quadratic equations, he starts from the answer. When he's looking, using standard deviation, he goes to the answer and begins to walk back to the question. When you are looking at it, you start from the question. So you don't understand why he keeps telling you, you are okay. You are going to be fine. You are going to be fine. You are going to be married. You are going to carry your baby. Because he started his own conversation from the answer. He knows the way that I take. And after he has tried me, I will come forth as gold. I will come forth as gold. What you need to do when you are on the way, what you need to do when you are when you begin to have revelations of God, is to make sure that that system, that experience is changing you from within. There is something about fire. When it touches paper, it doesn't return the paper back to the normal state. There is a way you can be consumed. There is a way you can be touched by God. By God. And when people say, come, let's go back to the world. Then like Peter, you can say, where else shall we go? Nowhere. Nowhere. It's too late. I turned my back. I left my banking job. There's nothing to go back to. The reason why it's easy for many of us to go back. We can't remember places we had to die to get to where we are. It's all been easy. They told you, just believe. Just believe and you shall see the glory of God. Yes. But when you are the sacrifice, it's not just to believe. You must allow yourself be put on the altar, trusting your father Abraham, that even if you are to die, yet you can be brought back from the dead. The sacrifice didn't resist. He only asked, Father, where is the sacrifice? And the father didn't answer, but he described it. Every time you say God is not talking to you, he's describing. Then carries you, put you on the altar. Sir, I was saying, where is the sacrifice? He now uses one hand. That's when you are not sensitive, you think God is not talking. He has said three things already. He now uses one hand to cover your eyes. Raises the sword. At that junction, only a superior instruction can remove the hand. When God is allowing you to go through stuff and every promise he made to you seems to be failing and you are there, you're asking God, but you said this to me. But something has happened. And then you are like a sacrifice being put on the altar. Oh my God, you want to hear this rain workers? You will hear it on a regular Sunday. This is the kind of message you hear on a regular Sunday. Then, because this is where power comes from. Yes, yes, yes. Out of death. Because person who don't die, no, they fear death again. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So when the devil tells you, I will make sure you suffer, you will remind him, I walked away from a supervisory role in a bank. When I said I was going to leave, they made me an offer to a bigger role. I still turned my back on it. MTN called me same day. I said no. Union Bank called me. I said no. Was there anything that I saw? No. Only what he said to me. Your time here is up. Learning to trust that voice is not a one-day process. He will walk you through it so that tomorrow when Thomas sees the resurrected God, he will say, my Lord, my God. That was the day his ordination started. The moment he rose from that place and got baptized in the Holy Ghost, Thomas refused to stay with them. He packed his bags and went all the way to India. Because now he has seen something. Now he knows the way. Now he can show others the way. Do you know in India, up to now, there is a mountain named after Thomas? Because of that place and that experience, the church that was built in his time is still there. Why? Because a man moved from asking questions to a place of an encounter. Listen to me, you are not wrong to ask questions. You are not wrong to ask questions, but you will be wrong if you stay without allowing yourself the chance to learn. Hallelujah. 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 Thomas is an entire study. Thomas is an entire study. I will stop here because of our time. As we step into the seventh year, there's no greater works without greater work. There's no greater work without a great perspective. Our perspective to God, our perspective to life must change. Must change. I cannot do justice to this message because I didn't get into the heart of where I was going. But I believe you heard something. So what do you have to do this morning? There's only one thing you have to do. Is to take the part of your journey that you understand and the part of your journey you don't understand. Bring it back to him as a sacrifice and say, Father, this is what I know. This is what I don't know. But I'm going to submit it at your feet. Because my sentence will come from you. My verdict will come from you. I will not allow Satan to hold anything against the call of God over my life. I will rather die trying than standing here. I will walk by faith and not by sight. Rise to your feet.